through the support of God and through the support of a great church family.
So schools of learning go back about as far as man does. The Sumerians had schools of learning. Those who are sociologists, they go back to 2000 BC or so. So as far back as we can schedule, they had writing schools. And there's actually one that's recorded in a place called Edubba.
Where?
Edubba.
Okay.
and the longest continuing school goes back to 859 AD in Morocco, in Fez, Morocco. Rabbi Zechariah, who is one of my favorite guys who talks about faith, travels around the world, lecturing usually on college campuses, and he told this story not long ago about being at the Ohio State University.
Right.
Okay, he was at Ohio State, and he said, and I just want to read to you what he said. A few weeks ago, I did a lectureship at Ohio State University. As I was being driven to the lecture, we passed the new Wexner Art Center. The driver said, quote, "This is a new art building for the university. It is a fascinating building designed in the postmodernist view of reality." Rabbi goes on and he says, "The building has no pattern. Staircases go nowhere. Pillars support nothing. The architect designed the builder to reflect life. It went nowhere and was mindless and senseless." Rabbi said, "I turned to the man describing it and I asked, did they do the same thing with the foundation?" The driver laughed. He said, "You can't do that with a foundation. You can get away with it with infrastructure. You can get away with random thoughts that sound good in defense of a worldview that ultimately doesn't make any sense. But once you start tampering with the foundations, you begin to see serious effects."
I guess the question might become up and say, do you know anyone or people who are like the Wexner Art Center that have staircases that go nowhere, pillars that support nothing? Do you know people who have not only played with the infrastructure of life, but who have also started to mess foundations, but only one is reliable? God is the creator. God is the creator and the designer of life. He has given us His Word as the foundation of our life.
In fact, Jerry, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 teach that all Scripture is profitable and that it is that source that completely or thoroughly furnishes the person that's striving to follow God. And so today we want to kind of get started by talking about kind of three larger areas. And
right.
Jerry, I want us to talk some about the importance of our children, of training our children.
I think it's vital. You know, those of us have been around and have raised children and are raising children, it's not an easy task. Not an easy task at all. But let's talk for just a moment about the importance of training our kids and how we train our children. First of all, the day that they were born, you began training them. Actually, you started before then. Moms, when you were carrying that child within deep inside of you, you were issuing love. You were already conditioning that child. You were already giving them the love and the source that they needed. You understand? Dads, it wasn't really until they were born when that bonding started with us. We didn't have the bond that the mom carries, but we do have that bond. But why is it so important? Connection with the child, bonding with them, holding them, loving them, unconditionally loving them. Because you see, what's going to happen right now, parents, is this. What you do right now in training your children will be a determining factor for down the road for them. Some of it will be good. Some of it will be bad. I wish I could say it would all be perfect, but it's not. But one thing is, you as parents must lay the foundation for your child. And yes, you do need the Lord's church as a part of it. And yes, you need other people around you to help build this.
The second thing I want to spend a couple of minutes thinking about and kind of reassuring you about are the emotions of school. And most of you who are in school have already gone back to school. Some of you went back Friday, some of you went back a couple of weeks ago, and in between others of you have. And parents, some of you today sent your child off to school for the very first time. Others of you sent your child to middle school for the first time, and others of you to high school for the first time. Still others of you, the first day of their senior class, and for teachers and for everyone involved in that system of education, there are a lot of emotions that go on and a lot of anxiety sometimes.
Social media is awesome on the first day of school. You know why? You got all the pictures. You know, one of my favorite comic strips is like on the first day of school, they show the child, you know, standing with a little, you know, suitcase or backpack nowadays. So we had briefcases growing up.
But I didn't have a briefcase.
You didn't have a briefcase. What did you have?
I don't know.
You don't know. You don't remember. So, but yeah, and you know, and the mamas are crying when they leave, you know, bless their little hearts. And, you know, the little child, you think they're going to have all this social anxiety heading into school. And as soon as they get out of the car, they look at mom and go, bye.
Yeah.
And all the moms are like, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be crying, wanting mom. Now, granted, there are some that go through that. But then you get ready to send them off to college.
Yeah.
And the college kids are like, I'm ready for this, mom. And then you have the empty room. And then it gets tough.
Yeah, there are just a lot of emotions that go on with education. And so we want to challenge you as we think about that. We could say, you know, it'll be all right, because ultimately it probably will be, but the truth is, what we'd rather say to you is, you know, to cast your anxiety on Christ. That's what Peter wrote, cast your care on him, he cares for you. And so my challenge would be, if your child's anxious, pray with them. Spend some time talking to them about their concerns. And if you're anxious about it, pray about it. Cast that care on Jesus. That is the best source of relief that you can find. So when we started talking about this day, Jerry, the third thing I want to do, I thought we have this excellent resource here who's worked with thousands of parents and kids that rarely addresses us from this stage. And I wanted Jerry up here with us today to talk to parents and to kids. He has, you know, like 40 years almost of experience of working with parents and with teenagers. And, you know, you may not like everything Jerry says or does, but we need to give great reverence to his experience and to the knowledge that he had. And so, Jerry, you've seen more kids walk away from the Lord than you wish you had, and how painful it is when any of our kids walk away from the Lord, especially for those of us who are parents, when our children make that decision. So what I wanted to start with in this part of our time together is just asking, what are some real tangible you know, keys that parents need to know to help set their kids up for a lifetime of faithfulness? Because they're going to get an education, but that education is kind of secondary to the faithfulness. What are the keys, some of the keys you've seen?
Before I get into this, let's try this a second. All of our children that are in here, and let's say this college age and down, I'd like for all of you to stand up right now. Every one of our college age and children, all right? All right. Now, parents, grandparents, others around, I want you to do me a favor. Look around. Now then, would the oldest sibling in the family that are standing, oldest sibling in the family, please sit down? Okay, now then, parents, what if you knew that child had just sat down, their soul would be lost? What if you knew that? How does that make you feel? Look who's standing. I mean, I look around here, and I see some of those that have sat down. Would you want their soul to be lost? Now then, rest of you, go ahead and have a seat right now. Dale, we talk about tangible things. Our world tells us today that that group that sat down right there is accurate. Even within the Lord's church here. That those children that just sat down, somewhere in your family, that soul is going to be lost. So the first thing I think you've got to understand is this. You have your children in the right place right now. You have them here worshiping God. And that's extremely vital. Because you see, you're setting that foundation. Those older ones that just sat down, I pray that their foundation has become secure. I pray that parents, you are doing what you should be doing. But you know, it's not just a worship time, Dale. It's being involved in the Lord's church.
So, Jerry, we're not saying, and please understand, we're not saying that this is a perfect place or that we get it right. In fact, we're very human, and probably more times than not, we don't get it right. That's true in probably your life as well. But that does not discount how important it is they be. We're also not saying it's always going to be easy, that every Sunday morning everything's going to fall perfectly in place for you to be here at 5 minutes till 9, sitting in your pew with your hair combed and everything. No, that's not probably going to happen for most anyone in this building. But what we're saying is that you're in the right place now, and that's really important. Now, these things we're going to talk about over the next few minutes, parents, understand, they don't guarantee your child's faithfulness.
No.
I wish I could sell you an insurance policy today that would guarantee you your child would go to heaven. I can't, but I can give you some things that will give you an assurance that you have the best opportunity, if you follow these things, for your child to go to heaven.
I think it's important, again, one, for you to be here, but two, I think it's more important than you just be here. I think it's important to be involved in the Lord's work. I think it's important for that to be service-minded. Put your children doing godly things with godly people. Keep them around godly individuals. Now, I'm going to do this real quick, like here too, and I didn't run this by you, but I'm going to do it anyhow. If you are over the age of 60, would you please stand? That's okay. That's okay. There's a point behind this. There's a point behind this. We will chuckle and we will laugh. But you have not lost your responsibility to helping to raise our children. My friends, we need you in Bible classes. We need you teaching. We need you serving. We need you to help us with these children. Parents, don't we need these people? We need these people, yes. And we need you in any manner that we can. Because I don't want to see any of this generation being lost. Thank you.
So, Jay, I think about involvement. And when I was growing up, I remember going to camp and how vital that week, or sometimes for me, I went 2 weeks of camp was. I remember that we didn't have a youth minister. We had this one summer, we had this youth intern who was a college student from Harding. His name was Bob Stoldreyer, and I thought he was the weirdest person I ever met in my life. He was odd. He would come over our house at night, and he would stay and stay and stay. I remember one night, Dad said, Brother Bob, why don't you lead us in a dismissal prayer? But he was just this odd guy. And but what I do remember is that we go out and we'd eat pizza together, just the kids hanging out, and we'd do different stuff. We'd bowl together and stuff, and I remember how important those times were. But here's what I remember, Jerry. I remember Tim Shoemaker and Bo Harrison and Terry Malone and Cynthia McGuire. And I remember Bubba and Liz Holland and Henry and Jane Hufford. And I remember as a young guy, these were young couples, most of them just married. I mean, you know, 30 years old and under. And they took an active interest in me, and not just me, but the other kids in the youth group. And Jerry, while you just had that group of folks that are in our age category kind of stand up, that group of young adults, man, that is so vital that you strive to make a connection with our children to be a part. Involvement is not a it's not a silo thing where our young people get together and they do these things. That's good. We did those, but it's also a larger thing where we're connected in trying to help each other get to heaven.
Well, the terminology is intergenerational. If we want to, that's the going phrase today. Let's work together as a church family, and we'll make this happen.
And I want to talk about two more things, Jerry. One is when I talk about that insurance policy that I would like to be able to sell you, I want to tell you the best thing I can tell you that will help assure your child's faithfulness. Listen very carefully. And that is, if mom and dad are active and involved in a local church, the studies have been done, the percentages are out there, and it's overwhelming. Now, I'm sorry that that can exist for some of you, but the fact is, doesn't change the fact that when mom and dad are both involved in a local church, children, it's somewhere around 80% of them will remain active. And anytime you take one of those out of the picture, or both of them out of the picture, or you make one of them kind of halfway involved, or the other one, you know, really involved, and one not involved, or neither of them involved, or them be Sunday morning only people who show up about 3 out of 4 Sundays. Anytime you start changing that equation, those numbers just plummet. But if they're both active and involved in a local church, and I'm going to say this bluntly, it doesn't matter the church in the statistical study. It's the involvement in spiritual activities that help that child go to heaven.
I think the scripture said something about raising your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That was a command given to parents. Mm-hmm. That was a command that was given. And parents will give account of that someday before God.
Okay, one more thing here, and we'll move on, and that is, I want to talk to us about our attitude about the church, and I'm going to talk bluntly about it, and excuse me, I'm going to talk to you offensively about it. Can I be offensive for a couple of minutes? Please give me permission. If all you do is run down the youth program, and Mr. Jerry, and all you do is talk bad about the preacher, whether it's me or Dan or somebody on down the road, and all you do is talk bad anytime you don't like something the elders do, and all you do is run down the worship services and you criticize the programs, if that's what your children grow up hearing, guess what they hear? These people that are talking to me don't like the church. And guess what? Your children are not going to like the church. So can I be real blunt? If that's you, change that today. I remember, excuse me for a minute, but I remember when I first started preaching, the first church I worked with in Eva, Alabama, I called my dad after I'd been there about 2 or 3 months, and I said, "Dad, this church is horrible. I mean, it's awful. You wouldn't believe the problems of these people. You wouldn't believe how they talk about each other, how they treat each other. You wouldn't believe the way they live their lives." And Dad said, "Son, you need to know something. It's that way in every church. Every church has people that are problems and issues that go on." I said, "Dad, why didn't you tell us about that when we were growing up?" He said, "Because I wanted you to love the church." Guess what? Your children are going to learn there are problems in churches. But let them hear from you. "Yeah, there may be problems, but man, we love these people." And if you can't do that with your kids, elders, fire me this week, okay? If you can't do that with your kids, find another church. Find another church. Because you need to find a church where you can talk positively about the leadership and about the elders, about the worship, about the atmosphere, about the Lord's kingdom. And if you can't find one, you need to change your heart. Okay, so negative Meandale over. Let's go back, Jerry. I want to talk about something else real quickly. And that is that I want you to kind of fill in a blank here. Parents who do not do X rarely end up with faithful children.
Parents who do not do X rarely end up with faithful children.
That was the question, Alex.
Thank you. Parents who do not, one, pray together. Number two, parents who do not love one another and love the family. Finally, I think that parents that don't show the love of God at home and around. It's my three things.
Okay. So you've seen a lot of kids through the years, and one thing we know is that our children will have influencers in their life, and the greatest thing is when they can become influencers of others rather than always have influence exerted on them as the controlling factor, when they can be influencers. So in your experience through the years, what are two or three of the things that most important things that you would say to a parent to help their child be an influencer at school?
Keep the affirmative before them. This is going to be good. We don't need bosses, we need leaders. Train your child to be a leader, not a boss. In order that to happen, though, you've got to be a leader yourself. But you need to surround them by good leaders. And you know where you find that at? In school. There was a survey done years ago that said, who are the most influential people in your life? And it wasn't preachers and youth ministers. We were like way on down, like 500. But you know, the first, outside of moms and dads, were educators. Why? Where do you spend a majority of your time? You spend it in school. We've got some wonderful teachers here within this congregation. And your children, whatever school your child goes to, they need to be around good teachers that will not only encourage them to be a leader, but also show that leadership throughout the school. Now, how do you get your child to become a leader? You put them in positive situations. You put them in programs that are positive. 4-H. Well, 4-H is a great program. Scouting is a great program. Boys and Girl Scouting. There's these things out there that your children can be a part of. Oh, by the way, did I mention youth group? Youth group is one of those positive things. Latch the Leaders program here. Our Latch the Leaders program has an excellent resource. If your child's never been a part of it, you really need to seek out into it and see what that program can do for your child here.
I would add that as a parent, kind of help your child be a leader. Encourage them to lead. And give them escalating degrees of responsibility and opportunity to lead. And so when they're a little bitty, start them off by giving them a little responsibility. And then let them do that. Don't rescue them. If they have to be rescued, rescue them. But you know, let them fail a little bit. Encourage them after that happens. Increase that responsibility. Let them see that they can accomplish things. And I remember when my boys were little, we'd take them to school. And when I took them to school, every day when they get out of the car, the last thing I'd say before they close the door to little Philip and Andrew, I'd say, be a leader. And that's the last thing I wanted to hear when they got out of school and when they got out of the car to go into school. And they got a little older, and they changed it. They said, I'm not sure what you said. You say be a reader, and then Philip, the smart elder, do you say be a breeder? It's like, no. I mean, but encourage them to be leaders, and I think you'll be happy with the outcome of that. We need good leaders in our schools. God knows we need good leaders in our schools. Jerry, I kind of want us to, you wrote down a few things that I think are vital to helping our parents today. I want you to kind of go over some of those things.
Some of the things that we do, one of the things parents and adults alike, what do we need to remind our children? There's a few things I think you need to be and consider daily. This is not something that just when you're in a problem or when the best of times are rolling. This is something I think you need to consider daily. Number one, I think you need to do this. I think you need to remind them daily who they are. They're an individual just like others. They have worth. They have abilities. And they have capabilities to be what they want to be. I've seen too many homes where the parents run the child down. You'll be a good for nothing. Does that really make a successful child? That's not leadership, by the way. The second thing I think you need to do is you need to remind your child who they belong to. Don't tarnish the family reputation. And if the reputation of the family is tarnished, do your best to build it back up. And it can be. Mm-hmm. And it can be. A third thing, remind them to look after others. Remind your children to look after others. When they walk in the lunchroom, who's the child sitting beside themselves? Go sit with them. Introduce yourself. That child may become your best friend. The first time student in a new school, when they walk through the door and they don't know everyone there, go and greet them. Remember the children that's lost a mom or a dad, or maybe divorced. Remember the scared. Remember the lonely. And remember those that are sad. A fourth thing, remember to laugh. Yeah, laugh. Laugh at yourself. When you drop, remind your child when they drop the tray in the lunchroom or if the glass spills, to laugh. Why? It's just something that's spilt. Remind them to be joyous and be joyous and have hilarious moments. And remind them of times when you laughed. We all have our stories. A fifth thing I want to remind you is, remind them that prayer never left school. I'm going to say that again. Prayer has never left school. Your child can pray to God anytime, anywhere. Teachers, you can pray to God anytime, anywhere. And God is always listening. And God is always loving. God will listen to you. And He is listening when others will not. A sixth thing, remind them to have fun. High school students, they'll say this is some of your best years of your life. Of course, they'll say that again about your college years. And then they'll say that as you go in the workforce. But life is fun. Life is fun. Build memories that will last a lifetime. When you're older, the age of your parents, those friends from your high school days will probably not be around. Now, that's a sad thing. When we graduate our seniors here and our college age guys go out, a lot of your peers probably won't be the best of your friends, but you'll create new ones. But you'll remember the stories and the times that you've had together. Finally, Dale, I'd say this. Remind them that the greatest gift is love. You're not going to like everything you see in this life. And you're not going to like everything that you hear. And you're not going to like everything that's done around you. Parents, that's going to be some of your children. Continue to love them. They're your child. And they will always be your child.
Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. So we want to close our service today and this time together with a period of prayer. And so we're gonna pray. Three of our elders are going to lead us in a prayer. We're going to pray for some very specific things. They know what they're praying for. And we have a couple of things we want to do today. I want to ask some of you guys and girls to help us. There's a box down here, a couple of boxes. If you're a teacher or a school administrator, if you're involved in education, if you'll stand right now, anybody, all of our teachers, homeschool teachers as well, all our teachers, if you're involved in education, just stand. And here you go, hand me one of those.
I see some people out there. Mike, Sharon, y'all stand up too. Come on, I'm going to call you out. Or at least raise your hand because we've got a gift for you guys.
We got a couple of things. One, we have a coffee mug for you because apparently every teacher needs a coffee mug for some reason.
Have you ever got up at the same time in the morning as a teacher did?
I get up before. 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Rebecca Atkins did these, Teach Them to Love, and it's got the logo on it, and you're welcome to that. And then We also have a kind of a hand towel that or a diaper. Is that a diaper?
No, it's a towel.
Towel. Okay.
It's a towel.
That as well. And you can, if you want to keep that on your desk or something, maybe it'll be a good way to, you know, get your kids thinking in a good way as well. So thank you so much for what you do. We are appreciative of you. And man, we, Jerry and I both have been influenced throughout our lives by some who's the best teacher you ever had?
Other than Miss Dixon? the best teacher, wow. I'm going to say this. I'm going to go back to Miss Dixon. Let me tell you why. She taught me the love of reading. She taught me the love of reading and how to treat other people. Miss Dixon was a Christian. And Miss Dixon just had a way of teaching other things. One quick story about her. There was a couple in our class, and this is back in early 1900s. The kids came to school, and they had no shoes. And in our first grade class, she would pass a shoebox around. And we would put pennies in the shoebox. Every week we'd put a penny in the shoebox. And at Christmas time, the couple that we had got a brand new pair of shoes. And when they came to school, they had that brand new pair of shoes. And when we'd go outside to play on the playground, the shoes would come off because they didn't care. But I remember that about Miss Dixon. Is the fact that she cared about education, but she cared about the student. And we've got teachers here that feel that same way, and I'm so glad we do.
So Garth's going to lead us in a prayer on our teacher's behalf. So let's pray together.